At that time, the publicans and sinners were drawing near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, whenever I read this gospel, I cannot help but think about that wonderful part of the movie on St. Joseph Cupertino, The Reluctant Saint. I wouldn't say I agree with every detail of the whole movie, but overall it's one absolutely wonderful movie, and it's something to make sure you see at least once. I've seen it repeatedly. It just never seems to lose its wonderful inspiration, and it's very enjoyable to watch. And it was made in the early 60s. But at one point, this brother Giuseppe, who can't learn a lick of theology, is fixated on this one passage of the gospel. And it's funny, enjoyable to see how when he's being tested for the diaconate, you know, one of the things they're expected to do is to give any verse at least the New Testament, or maybe even the Bible, is supposed to declaim it by heart. And he didn't know any passages by heart. He just couldn't memorize anything. And there was one passage that he did remember very well. I don't know if this is true in real life, but it's portrayed in that motion picture. He's asked by the examiner the one passage that he does know by heart. And he just launches into it and just says it so quickly and so fervently. The examiner says, "He must know the Bible." And he passes. And the one who coached him, the one who is much more advanced in theology, he was asked a passage that he couldn't remember, and he failed. How ironic was that? But just so well portrayed. But we do need to reflect upon this. And this happens on the Sunday following the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the church puts it here to remind us of how intensely the Sacred Heart of Jesus loves us. "What man of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And on coming home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost.'" Jesus loves the poor sinner. Our Lord dramatically said at one point, he says, "I have not come for the just, I have come for the sinner." Now, we have to understand that correctly. Our Lord wasn't saying, forget the just, they're not going to be saved. No, our Lord was using some hyperbole there to say, don't forget how much I love the poor sinner. The one who is in need of being saved. You may have been that lost sheep, strayed away from God. And remember, the Sacred Heart of Jesus was beating for love of you, to bring you back to him, to bring you back to the faith, to the sacraments. Never forget how much the Sacred Heart of Jesus loves you. And our Lord is saying this of a good shepherd. Now, there could be also shepherds who say, "Well, that one sheep that's lost, it's too much trouble to go after it. I've still got the 99. Our Lord says he'll never be like that. He doesn't abandon the 99. He knows they're doing okay. They're in a safe spot. They're being provided for. I've got to find that lost sheep. I've got to find him. There's a beautiful meditation on one of the Good Fridays, Good Friday meditations. I remember that, you know, the divine shepherd, you know what people do when they can't fall asleep? They start counting sheep. And the good shepherd, he can never get past 99 because there's that one lost sheep that he will do his utmost to bring back to him, to save him. No wonder, as is portrayed in that motion picture, I mean, this was St. Joseph Cupertino, again, somebody who didn't have the book learning, but he had the sanctity and he had the understanding. And he took care of the sheep. He wanted to be in the stable as a humble brother, taking care of sheep. And remember, the bishop was so impressed with that. And he knew that he would make a good priest. Indeed, he's a canonized saint. He was blessed with that. This really happened. St. Joseph Cupertino was blessed with the gift of levitation. He literally was picked up miraculously off the air, up into the air, off the ground. You had to be careful what you were saying to him. If you were talking to St. Joseph Cupertino, you know, and you started to talk about how good God is, whoa, there he goes. This literally happened. This isn't just Hollywood. This literally happened. God gave to this saint It was a mark of God's special approval of him. And so he knew the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, "This man eats with sinners. How dare he?" And yet they were the ones, because of their pride and their other sins, they were the ones that were not pleasing to our Lord. Now, one thing we must understand here is our Lord never condones sin. This is a misunderstood part of Holy Scripture. Jesus loves the sinner who's trying, who wants to overcome his sins. And these are the people our Lord was around. And yes, they took scandal. This wasn't scandal. Our Lord could never give this or commit the sin of scandal. They took scandal from this. But our Lord was not condoning sin. Nowadays, there's that almost, I wouldn't say the almost, it is there, an expectation of that we must condone sin. Our Lord never did. And this is why it was so sad to see during this month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, when we should be celebrating and honoring and adoring our Lord, we see the glorification of sin during Pride Month. God cannot forgive the glorification of sin. It's one thing to be a poor sinner, and Jesus loves them more than we'll ever understand. But if somebody began to glorify sin in our Lord's presence, we know what he would do. He would get up and leave. Big difference there. Yes, sin wounds our Lord. It hurts him. And remember, our Lord sometimes spoke as man, sometimes he spoke as God. When he said, for example, "The Father is greater than I," he's emphasizing his humanity. When he says, "Before Abraham came to be, I am," he's speaking as God. He can do that because he's both God and man in one person. So the doctrine of the Sacred Heart reminds us that there is a human heart to Jesus, in Jesus, and we adore that heart. Not only does he love us with the infinite love that God already has, he also loves us with a human love. But that also means human hurt. The heart is both a symbol of love, and I would say it's the symbol of hurt. Sometimes the greatest hurts imaginable. This is why people say, I was heartbroken. Jesus felt not only the rejection of him by those who willfully keep on sinning and offending him, he felt that in his heart. You see the need for reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But let us again be convinced of, from today's gospel, how much our Lord loves the poor sinner. I came to save those that were lost. But again, the sinner has to want to overcome sin. The sinner has to say, I'm sorry. Nobody else can do the repentance on somebody else's behalf. You can never apologize for somebody. It has to come from the person himself or herself that committed the offense. So our Lord looks for that good heart in each one of us. And just know, no matter what your struggles are with sin or problems, just know how the Sacred Heart of Jesus is beating for love of you. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is on fire with love for you and me. I want to end with a brief comment on the epistle for today. St. Peter warns us, the first pope tells us, watch out for the devil. He's going out around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But just before that, he says, humble yourselves. How important humility is. Without humility, we cannot please God. Pride offends God. It's the ultimate sin. It's the foundation of every sin. So humble yourselves that he may exalt you in the time of visitation. Visitation meaning it's particularly difficult times. It's called a visitation where God's power is visited upon us, showing how the power of God helps to get through difficult or seemingly impossible situations. And then he says this absolutely beautiful phrase, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Notice the word cast. He doesn't say give or turn it over. He says, cast. I didn't have a chance to look up the Greek original in which the New Testament was written, but the Latin word is proicientes, which means to hurl or throw. So, being the inspired word of God, even that choice of word tells us a lot. This is not in any way lacking in respect or reverence for God. But St. Peter is telling us how he's using a very forceful word. Cast your anxiety. In other words, really give it over. The more anxious we may feel for whatever, don't just give it. Give it over. And don't take it back. It's one of the hardest things to do. We got to do with all the worrying. We have to keep all of our anxiety. We give it and we take it back. No. Let us be inspired by these words of St. Peter. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, cares for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.